Good morning. Good to see you today. Thank you for being with us in our Sunday school hour, to those that are here and those who might be listening in by the way of internet or whatever the means might be. We thank the Lord for your participation. I sometimes wonder why anybody want to come listen to me teach, but I really thank you for being with us. If you get through this hour, then you can hear some good stuff the next hour. So, but I do thank you. I want you to turn two places to start with. I want you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter number 19, and then I want you to turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, we're talking about the nation of Israel. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer, and then we'll continue. Lord, we thank you again. Oh, how wonderful and how great you are. How merciful and how kind and how patient you are with your children. And Lord, I'd ask that we would just reflect on all the blessings of life that you have granted to us. And Lord, you've granted those to us through Jesus Christ, your Son. Not deserving, but you granted. And Lord, we thank you so much for it, but we thank you so much, most of all, for your saving grace. Lord, how pleasant and how peaceful it is this morning to know that we're saved by your marvelous grace. To know that our eternity is settled, and the peace and the joy and the comfort that that brings is just wonderful for us. And Lord, we do thank you so much for it. And Lord, we go open your precious word, study therein. So we'd ask that the Holy Spirit might work through us. Lord, help us to speak truths from your precious word. Not anything of us, but all of you. And Lord, I do thank you for the opportunity to talk and discuss and to teach your precious word, and precious it is. Lord, we ask your blessings upon those who are present today and those who are listening in, and also those, Lord, who have special needs. You know them, able to meet them. Just mold us, Lord, to your precious will. Thank you now for this time together, and thank you for your precious word. In the precious name of Christ, we do pray. Amen. Now, we're looking at the nation of Israel. We're looking at the work of the Holy Spirit. We've looked at the cloud by day and the fire by night. Then we came to the Ark of the Covenant, and we watched them follow the Ark of the Covenant as they have crossed Jordan. But I want to back up a little bit. You know me, I've run a rabbit, and he circled. I want us to talk a little bit. I want you to think about something. When you were saved, and Lord, I hope that everyone here this morning listening to me is saved by the marvelous grace of Christ and God. But when you were saved, who was involved in your salvation in the spiritual realm? You know, we have the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But who sent, who saved, and who drew? Who sent and who saved and who drew? And we know God Almighty sent his precious Son, Jesus Christ. And whenever the Holy Spirit drew you and I to him, no one comes to the Father but by me, and nobody comes unless the Spirit draws him, okay? So now, we have the two witnesses of our saving grace, Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Now, with that, I'm full reason. I want you to think on this a little bit. Now, let me read you a couple of verses to start, and then we're going to go to Joshua. But last Sunday, as we talked, we got Joshua and the nation of Israel across Jordan. And immediately when they crossed Jordan, there's Jericho. And Jericho is a problem now for the nation of Israel. So I want to use Jericho for an example this morning. And I want us to look at some things and just pick some things out that reminds us, does me, I don't know about you, of the mercy of God. Now, if we look in Deuteronomy 10, we look in chapter number 19, and we look at verse number 15, and it says, "And one witness shall not rise up against a man for an iniquity or for any sin. And any sin that he sinneth at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established." So the two witnesses or three witnesses, the matter might be established. You're guilty. The Trinity says, God says that all the world are sinners. Christ says, "I'm witness that I died for all the world." The Holy Ghost backs up Christ and the witnesses and said he's the Savior of the world. Now, you've got your witnesses there. Now, go with me over to Corinthians for just a moment, and let's read another one. And you say, what in the world does this have to do with what we're talking about this morning? Well, I hope that I can make a connection. And in 2 Corinthians 13, chapter the first verse, "This is the third time I am come to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established." He said, "This is the third time I've come to you. I'm coming to you," and he says, "in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established." This is the word of God that we have this morning. It is the Holy Scriptures, and it is established by God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, as we go back again to Joshua and began to look at something, let me lay a little bit of foundation to my thought this morning as we do this. Something happened prior to Israel's crossing of Jordan. Now, let me put you to where my thoughts are this morning. The nation of Israel has been promised an earthly kingdom. They have been promised a land for inheritance. And God says that you will have an earthly kingdom, and Christ will be your Messiah and your King during that earthly reign. Now, as we see the nation of Israel in what we have been studying, and they are going toward those promises that God has promised. And they have come to the Jordan and crossed the Jordan into what we call Canaan's land. But immediately after they crossed Jordan, there's Jericho. And I want us to look at Jericho in a little bit deeper detail, maybe, than we've ever looked at it before. But I want us to look at something prior to where we are in the passing over Jordan, as we crossed Jordan last Sunday. And I crossed it last night and the night before and all that anyway. But I want us to look at what's fixing to take place at Jericho and what Jericho represents. And I think we can see some good truths this morning. But there's something that happened prior to Jericho and the crossing of Jordan that I want us to look at carefully this morning. And it's in the second chapter of the book of Joshua. You remember the name Rahab? And we've got Rahab mentioned here in Joshua. But we've also got Rahab mentioned somewhere else in God's Word. And you know where it's mentioned in the New Testament? We go to the book of Hebrews, and it says, by faith, Rahab. So let's look at what Rahab represents this morning. And remember that that is on this side of the crossing of Jordan. And then we want to see where was Rahab and what was Rahab and what happened to Rahab, because she lived in where? Jericho. Jericho on the other side of Jordan. Now, in the second chapter, the first verse, it says, Joshua the son of Nun went out of Shittim to, he sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went. And they came into a harlot's house named Rahab. And they did what? And they lodged there. Now, does this seem kind of unusual? That of all the places in Jericho, these two spies are led to what? To a harlot's house. I thought they went to spy out the land. And they ended up doing what? Lodging there. Now, if we look at 1 Timothy, and I'm not going to turn there. If you want to turn there, you can. Well, I said I won't, but I am. I don't want to do it. I want to look at it. I want you to look at it. I want you to read it. And what I'm trying to do is lay some groundwork and let you see what you can see with these examples as we go along. In 1 Timothy, in chapter number 1, in verse 15, this is a faithful saying. Really, I wanted to read it all. I was going to quote just a part of this verse. But it says, this is a what kind of saying? It's a faithful saying. And it's also worthy of all what? Acceptation. That Christ Jesus came into the world. For what reason? To save sinners. Now, do you not find it kind of unusual that these two witnesses have come to Jericho, and all of a sudden, we see it recorded that they've gone to a harlot's house. And they've lodged there. Well, let me ask you a question. When somebody named Christ and the Holy Spirit came to your house, what were you? And what was I? I was as big a sinner as this is. We think of a harlot, we think about sin. We look in the mirror and we can see another sinner. And I hope this morning when we look in the mirror, we see a sinner saved by grace. So, where did these two witnesses go? They went to a sinner's house. And they lodged there. I'm sure I'm glad the Holy Spirit come one day and shook up his house. And eventually he lodged there. Now watch this. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, Behold, there cometh men in hither the Nile of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, Bring forth the men that are coming to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out the country. It kind of reminds me of old Satan. He was trying to mess up the apple cart too when Christ and the Holy Spirit was working on you and I. And the woman took, and the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, Bring forth the men that are coming to thee, which are entered into thine house. Kind of amazing. It says, they entered in your house. You realize when you were saved, the devil knew that Christ was dealing with you. He says, Well, they be come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them and said, There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out where the men went. I wrought not, pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. So she made an excuse. Said, I don't know where they're at. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way of Jordan to the fords and all. And as soon as they were which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gates. And before they were laid down, she came unto them upon the roof and said unto the men, I know. Now I want you to pay attention to what this Gentile sinner said to the two witnesses. I know. Number one, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. Now she said, I know your Lord, and I know his judgments and his terror. The Lord's going to judge this world one day. And I don't think it's going to be very long. No. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you. And when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites and the other side of Jordan, the other destroyed them. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now she's on the right track. And she said, we have no defense of the mighty hand of God. And she realizes the judgments that's coming because of the Lord God of the nation of Israel. Now, I want you to listen to what took place. Now, therefore, I pray you swear unto me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you will also show kindness into my father's house and give me a true token. Now, her concern is for what? Not only for herself, but for her whole household. Now we're going, this household that she represents is important too, because she and this household have a great representation in this particular study. Now she has recognized the God of those two witnesses that have come to her. And she's recognized that he's a God of heaven and a God of earth. And there's nobody that has power more than he. She has also realized that she is now in a position of the judgment of that God, the true God. And she knows that judgment is severe. That judgment is a death penalty, so to speak. So now she's talking to two witnesses. And she's talking to two witnesses that she thinks that represent God, who can help her in her situation. And I know two witnesses too, and that's Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, that are witnesses of God Almighty that help us in our situation when we're facing death, hell, and the grave, and the penalty and the guilt for our sins are on our shoulders and need to be lifted off, because we can see it coming. It had been revealed to us. And this she had been revealed to her, that judgment's coming, and I have no hope, none whatsoever. The good thing is, she says, my heart's melted in me. And she says, show me kindness, my father's house, and give me a true token, and that you will save alive. Now, who is she talking to? She's talking to two witnesses. And what's the statement that she has just made? That you will save alive my father and my mother and my brother and my sister and all they that have that you will save alive my father, my mother, my brethren, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. Now, who has the ability to save? We only have one Savior, and he's the only one that has the ability to save. And what is she asking for here? She is talking to those two witnesses, and she asks that their lives might be saved. Whose lives might be saved? Her family. Her family. Well, what are we? Brother Ben has been talking about it message after message. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We're a family of God, that we have been saved by the marvelous grace of Jesus Christ. And what I'm seeing as I look at this is that she represents, we're all sinners saved by grace. The church is made up of sinners saved by grace. And here Rahab represents the church. But where is she? She's in Jericho. The Gentile world, she's a Gentile. Well, what are you and I? We're Gentiles. We're a Gentile world. We've been saved in this Gentile world. And that's what she's asking for, that her family might be saved. This is our family. The church is God's family. She represents the church. And she's asked for a token to be shown to her too. You remember that? And she knows that she needs to be delivered from death. So she knows that the death penalty is coming. And the men answered her, "Our lives for yours. Our lives for yours." Who's the only one that can grant that? God's the only one that can grant that. That our lives for yours. If you utter not our business, and it shall be when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. And knowing the Lord's going to give them the land, we'll deal with you then. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelled upon the wall. And she said unto them, "Get you to the mountain." Here's that. Now, I want you to notice this thing. It says again, "Get you to the what?" It does not say to the mountains. It says mountain, singular. Okay? She said, "Get you to the mountain." It's an amazing thing. I want you to look at these little nitbits that's thrown into here. Get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there, what? 3 days. So we've got a mountain, and we've got 3 days again. And you know where I'm going with that. First thing I think about is Golgotha Hill, and 3 days, death, burial, and resurrection. The penalty for our sins was paid. Until this pursuers return, and afterwards you may go your way. And the men said unto her, "We will be blameless of this oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of what? Scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father, and thy mother, and thy brother, and all thy father's household," where? Home. To who? To thee. So he says what? You gather them into this house, and this house that's under what? What did they say hang on the window? The scarlet thread. What do you think that thread represents? You and I this morning are under the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, watch this. We're going to get a little deeper in this thing. "And it shall be." Now, notice that phrase. "It shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head." All right, you don't want to take the truth if you don't believe what you have been told. Your safety is under the blood of Christ. Your safety is in the family of God. Your safety is here. Now, if you don't want to have a part of that and you want to go out in the street and out in the world, then what? The blood's on your own head. You're guilty of your sin. You chose not to participate with the Lord's command. So I said, go out in the street and it'd be on you. Now watch this. His blood shall be upon his head, and we will be what? And who are going to be guiltless? How in the world? The witnesses are going to be guilty. Who's the only one that can forgive sin? Who's the only one's blood can be shed for sin? See, we see the work of Christ and the Holy Spirit. that thing that brings the church together, that thing that puts the people in the house of God, like Rahab's family. The only thing that can put you in the house of God is the work of the Holy Spirit and the shed blood of Jesus Christ that's been granted to us through God the Father. He said, and whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on what? On whose head? Our head. Who paid for your sin? And who paid for my sin? Who shed his precious blood for you and I? Christ's blood. And he says, we're responsible for those who put their trust in it. Who's going to get you across Jordan? His blood shall be on your head, and if any hand be upon him, and if he utter this our business, then we shall be guiltless of thine oath which thou hast made us to swear. And she said, according to unto your words, so be it. God said it, and that finished it. His word is authority and complete. And they went and came into the mountain. There's that. Let's back up. I'm sorry. And she said, according to thy word, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. Now, I want you to notice one thing in this. Where is she at? Again, I remind you, she's in Jericho. And her house is on the wall of Jericho. Well, I believe that'd be pretty easy to see, wouldn't it not? The king came by, or sent his men by, and asked her about those two spies. And she says, I don't know where they're at. What's she asked to do now? Where's that scarlet thread going to be? It's going to be in the window of a house up on a wall, right? Where's your scarlet thread today in this world we live in? Can the world see your scarlet thread? Can the world know that you're under the blood of Christ? Or do you take it down and roll it up and put it in your pocket so you fit in? She was not afraid to hang the scarlet thread up, and she didn't care if the king that sent the servant saw it. She stood on what she had been told to do. God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, and what we need to do is follow it. And she's following what she was told. And they went and came into the mountain, there's that word again, and abode 3 days, until the pursuers returned, and the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. So the two men returned, descending from the mountain, and passed over, and came to Joshua the son of Nun, and told all the things that beheld them. And they said unto Joshua, truly, the Lord hath delivered our hands of all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. So we need to see the strength of God again now. We're on this side of, where did the time go this morning? All right, we're on this side of Jordan at this point. You and I, right now in this dispensation of grace, or on this side of the tribulation period. Okay? Now, and I want us to get into this deep next Sunday, because I'm not going to have time today, because I don't have 3 minutes. The promise to the nation of Israel is an earthly kingdom. What's between that promise and that fulfillment today? See, now, last Sunday we saw them cross Jordan. So they're entering the promised land. They're entering Canaan land. Well, the promise has been made to the nation of Israel a long time ago. They're well on the journey. The only thing today between the fulfillment of an earthly kingdom to the nation of Israel is the rapture of the church, the tribulation period, and what comes next, the millennial rule. I want you to think on this week. Jericho is the tribulation period. Jericho is an example of tribulation period. Lord willing, it blesses to be here next Sunday. We'll try to talk about that and see what must take place and how it takes place before they get by Jericho. God bless you, and thank you for being with us today.